The Radio Academy Festival 2023. Sound Connections.
Welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm Sean Thorne, and we've got our next helping of Radio Festival speakers to bring to you. This is the third podcast in our Radio Festival mini-series. But if you've stumbled across this one first, then it's all good. They can be listened to in any order that you like. The theme's always the same, and that's Sound Connections, where we talk about connecting with current audiences, innovating our connections with future audiences using new platforms, and also how we can better connect to others within our industry. We've got loads of speakers in this episode, so we're going to crack on. This is from the 50 years of commercial radio session, and Edward Adu is in our delightful makeshift podcast garden that we fashioned in the Royal College of Physicians. And joining him on the garden bench, surrounded by colourful foliage, is Ralph Bernard and Pete Snodden.
It's Edward Adu. I'm here with Pete Snodden and Ralph Bernard. Guys, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah.
We're talking about 50 years of commercial radio. This is a difficult moment. I think I'm going to come to you, Ralph, first, because, you know, Pete said he's been doing it for 23 years. I think he only started yesterday, so I'm going to come to you first. What would you say is your highlight of commercial radio so far?
Oh, there's so many, but I mean, looking at the number of people that are listening to commercial radio today as compared to just even 5-6 years ago is still fantastic. That's a highlight. But from me personally, my own highlights would be getting behind the launch of Classic FM and getting that application into the Radio Authority seconds to spare.
Literally seconds.
Well, maybe minutes, but it was a really close thing. It was not just for my company, but for the industry as a whole. It was the first national commercial radio station. It established commercial radio's credibility with the advertisers, that we were not just pop and prattle, as Lord Annan said in his famous report. We were a serious medium that could produce stations as diverse as Kiss FM and Classic FM.
Pete, your moment.
Yeah, so being a dreamer and dreaming of being on commercial radio, getting a gig was the ultimate. Staying on it, I'm still doing that. So that's my own personal...
23 years?
23 years.
Does it seem like 23 years?
It really doesn't. I'm still bluffing my way. I will say this. The one thing which I'm most proud of on the station that I'm on, which is Cool FM, it started in 1990, and it's been the number one commercial radio station since then and continues to be. But in 2023, we have the largest audience that we've ever had, and there's more competition than there's ever been. So I'm very lucky to be on the brand, but I think that just goes to show how healthy commercial radio is.
And that's a very interesting point. You bring to the table, Pete, about these success or how commercial radio is healthy. There's lots of platforms now, Ralph. There's not so much about radio, but there is, you've got your Spotify, your iTunes. What do you think commercial radio needs to do in order to excel, to stay relevant for new audiences?
Well, you use the word, it's got to stay relevant. It's got to be, it's no point in being stuck in the past. We have to recognize that the industry is changing. You listen to radio in so many different ways now. When I started in radio, you had to be really careful about telling people to change stations or move the dial, because it was literally really difficult to turn the knob to retune your radio to back to the station you were listening to.
Now there's DAB, and you can listen on your Sky or your digital TV channels.
I got into a major panic just a few seconds ago when I lost my mobile phone. Everything I listen to is on my mobile phone, whether I Bluetooth it or I listen to it, you know, with some earphones or something like that. But I think that the danger is that that people get sort of hung up on different forms of radio, hung up about worrying about different forms of radio. provided those, I'm talking about voice tracking, streaming, very specialist media services. I can't believe it's 50 years. When I first started in commercial radio, it wasn't long after the BBC had celebrated its 50th anniversary. I remember seeing somebody written in the loo at Radio Hallam, where I was working, the BBC has always been 50 years old. And in fact, they're now saying that about commercial radio, but it's fun because the commercial radio seems a lot more relevant today to its audience than the BBC did when it was 50 years ago, celebrating its 50th anniversary. So I think that what we've been able to do is show that we can move with the times, offer completely a range of products which is completely compatible with the audience that we're talking to, just celebrate it.
Big thanks to Ralph and Pete for chatting to us on the podcast. We are now taking a trip from the podcast garden to the Treasures Room, which is also an actual thing at the Royal College of Physicians. You can't have a Treasures Room without a big wooden throne. And on the big wooden throne, chatting to Simon Lederman, is Stephanie Hurst.
I'm just still laughing from the last session I've been in, which was Milo and Rosie from Pulse One, and we're joined now by radio legend Stephanie Hurst. Oh, so that's everything in the way. I've done everything now. You were hosting this last session, which was all about local audiences and the importance of local, but not just that, the success of local.
Yeah, I think Milo and Rosie are a great example of really winning locally, because we've got a lot of shows that are networked these days, lots of shows that are not coming from those marketplaces, lots of changes within BBC local radio. So the whole landscape of radio is changing. But there's still those shows in marketplace, especially in West Yorkshire, like Pulse One, Milo and Rosie, who are unbelievably winning with their audience. They're getting out there and they're meeting their audience. They do an ice cream van tour. Which sounds ridiculous, but you've got to see it. And they do a game of cones.
Game of cones.
Game of cones, where basically they will fill a cone with some ice cream, but inside that, it could have tomato ketchup, it could have curry sauce, it could be something. So they try and put a funny spin on it. Then they do the old knock a door run idea, which we used to do when we were kids, knocking on a neighbour's door and running off. But they do that with tellies, not nicking people's tellies. They will turn up with a brand new TV in their hands, and you've got 30 seconds to answer the door. If you open it within those 30 seconds, you win the TV. They've got it sponsored, so there's a revenue stream coming in. Obviously it's commercial radio,
their content is memorable. And the proof of what you must have, I mean, you know them anyway, but you're seeing there that from their own tales, they understand the audience they're targeting.
They get it, and I think their audience understand them as well. It's very much a two-way street. I think if you're first starting a breakfast show in those first early fledgling days, you know, you've got to share a lot about yourself. And I think once the listener hears you do that, they feel comfortable in sharing stories about themselves, things they probably wouldn't even tell their friends. You can get them to tell you on the radio sometimes, and I know I've done it firsthand. So what they've got is something really, really, really special, and that's why they're a double gold ARIA award-winning show. They won it in 2018 when they were in with everyone else in the UK. So they were up against Zoe Ball, Chris Evans, Nick Grimshaw at the time when he was on Radio 1, and this year they've won Best Local Show 2023, which I'm so proud of them. And having known them for many years, I've known Danny Milo since he was 15 and Rose since she was about 18, it's just a joy to see them shine. It's wonderful.
And the interesting thing is, there is a great debate, and I'm sure people are having it here as we speak, about linear and whether everything has to be pushed onto digital. But these guys are demonstration and proof that linear is alive, because people, they email them after the programme, but they come and see them during the live show.
Yeah, the audience are there. They want to meet them. They want to get to know. They want to see them in the flesh, because if you listen to someone every single day on the radio, you invest in that show. And how many times, Simon, have when you've been listening to a show and you may have never met that presenter, but that presenter becomes your friend because you let them into your lives daily. And I think that's what Milo and Rosie have done with their audience. They've just got this relationship. But you know, you talk about there's this big digital first thing and all sorts of like that. But that's where they shine with their socials as well, their social media videos that they do with stuff going out, or whether it's a story that someone's, you know, got in touch with on the show, they'll turn that into a social. Because when I did breakfast for 15 years, And I always talked about the 24-hour breakfast show. You know, we might be on 6 till 10, but what about 10 till 6 the next morning? We've got to be filling that audience. We've got to be inside the audience's head, or we've got to be filling the socials with something. And when I was doing breakfast, you know, Facebook, I came off breakfast in 2014, so nearly 10 years ago, but I'd been on since the year 2000. But I was there during that explosion of social media. 2007, Facebook arrived. So, you know, you've got that big explosion, but it's using that as a tool, but not letting it override the overall thing, which is communicating with your audience.
And just briefly, events like this where the whole radio industry gets together, how does it feel for you? Why is that still important?
Oh, do you know what? Today I walked in here in the Royal College of Physicians in Regent's Park, and I stood in the front of the foyer just collecting my lanyard and my badge, and I must have seen about 20 or 30 people I know or worked with over the years. And it's just wonderful that the industry can get together and the industry can go in a session like they've just been in with Milo and Rosie. And they may have never heard, they're not from West Yorkshire. They won't have come across that show, but they've gone away with a smile on their face. They've gone away with a story about dogs' ashes that they'll be able to tell their friends. And if you want to find that story about dogs' ashes, check out Milo and Rosie's Insta or Facebook or whatever, because that story will be on there.
And it really is worth it. Stephanie Hurst from Bauer Hits Radio, great to meet you. Thank you for doing this.
Wonderful to see you. Have a great day.
Thank you to Stephanie. And our next stop is with Imogen Brewer, who was chatting to the speakers from the Connections Chamber. I feel like it's a rule that all of these conversation locations have had to have wildly extra names. There were probably rooms that were more suitable to have these chats in, but I was like, nah, meeting room A is not really quite fabulous enough, is it? Off to the Treasures Room, off to the Connections Chamber we go, everybody. And Imogen Brewer is in the Connections Chamber chatting about entrepreneurship in audio.
Hi, it's Imogen here, and I am at the Radio Academy Festival, and I'm here with...
I'm Stephanie Otte. I am the co-founder and director of Radio News Hub.
I'm Drithi Shah. I'm a journalist and creative lead at Have You Thought About?
I'm Camilla Bike. I'm the co-founder of Podium.me, the voices of the under 25s.
So let's get straight into it. Your topic today, why was that great? Why is your topic great for current audiences?
It was great to be able to talk to people about the journey that we've been on within this industry. I think that the way that the media landscape is changing leaves a lot of people wondering where they fit. And I think that when you're looking at entrepreneurship and you're looking at maybe breaking outside the box and not necessarily just going down that traditional route, it's about trying to inspire people to really believe in their own abilities and do something that they're passionate about. So you don't necessarily have to follow the norm of going straight into the 9 to 5. You can do something that you really enjoy, and it's about believing in yourself. And as long as you've got that self-belief, you can really achieve anything.
Entrepreneurship in audio is very much about taking ownership. It's about finding both a place to belong, but also a place to stand out. And so being at the Radio Academy Festival, being able to connect, being able to talk about business and what different types of business there are, it's really, really important to be able to have these discussions.
I always say that if you want to be a journalist, you can start straight away. So anyone who's writing for the school magazine or recording stuff on their phone or putting stuff out there is already a journalist. So entrepreneur is something that everybody is right now. So it's hugely relevant. Lots of people have side hustles, lots of people have interests, and it's about enabling people to think, actually, I could do something really big with my dreams, and they could turn into reality.
So how does entrepreneurship and the topic that you spoke about today, how do they innovate connections with the future audiences and their platforms?
I think the future of radio is really interesting because we have seen so much disinvestment, particularly in local radio. And I think in turn, we've also seen it become harder for people to break into the industry because a lot of those entry-level local radio stations don't exist anymore. So I think that I know what we offer, and I know with Camilla as well, it's those opportunities for people to really start their career, to really learn and develop and grow and be part of what is an incredible career. You know, journalism, the media, it's such an interesting career to be a part of because you're learning all the time, you meet so many people, and it really helps you to develop as grow, not just in a career-wise, but just personally as well. You know, it just helps in every aspect of life.
Entrepreneurship can be lonely. You can be by yourself, you can be in your living room, you can be perhaps in a workspace, but you can be doing a lot of this thinking, oh my gosh, who else can I bounce off of? Who can talk to me about mentoring? Who can give me their experiences? Who can I connect with? Who can I build partnerships with? And being able to discuss the topic, but also being able to have places where you can actually network, where you can find out what other people are going through with their journey. It's really, really important, and it makes it a bit less lonely.
I've just been talking to some alumni of the Global Academy. So these are students who've studied media or production or some element of performance, and seeing them kind of network and start to make connections in the industry is what this is all about. So it's like a conveyor belt of talent where people are coming in at one end, and then I'm seeing some of my young Podium.me journalists who were with me 10 years ago. They're now leading sessions today, and I couldn't be prouder of what they've achieved. So having no barriers to entry, I think, is really important. I hope the industry continues to become more inclusive, more diverse, and as a result we get different stories being told.
And finally, we're at the Radio Festival today. Why is it important to come here and make connections at events like this?
I think it's always important to make connections because we're always growing, we're always evolving, and you can learn so much from people around you, people within the industry, people in totally different industries. One thing I've always sort of thought, particularly about running a business, surround yourself with people who've got different skill sets to you, because they may have a real edge in something that you don't necessarily, and actually you knit those skills together and you can build something really special. So I think networking and meeting those different people and hearing different points of view is so vital.
The word ecosystem was mentioned during the festival, and that's exactly what it is. At the end of the day, you are part of the ecosystem. So come along to the festival, figure out your place, figure out what everyone else's place is, go and learn from other people, let them learn from you. Take ownership, that's what it's about, and the festival does just that.
Yeah, it's really inspiring. We were talking about nerves and whether you have nerves or not, and I said I gave up nerves for Lent and never picked them up again. I think, you know, we can encourage each other, especially if we've been in this business for a bit longer than other people. We can say, actually, you don't have to do that. You know, that's not a compulsory part of this job, or, you know, you can do it your way. You can be an individual, and I think that is absolutely vital. And, you know, it's just exciting to see where everything is going and, you know, the new leadership, everything about the festival. You know, it's always moving. It's like anything else. It has a life of its own. So I think, yeah, it's exciting to be here, and I'm grateful that we were allowed to do a panel discussion.
Amazing. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Radio Academy Festival 2023. Sound Connections.
Right, so we're doing a bit of a loop now of the fabulous locations, and we're going back to the podcast garden where Edward Adu was speaking to BBC Radio Wales's Carolyn Hitt.
It's Edward Adu. I'm here with Carolyn the Hit. Carolyn, hi, how are you doing?
I'm feeling better now because my session's over, so I can relax a bit now.
How was it for you, by the way?
Yeah, well, these things always go much more quickly than you imagine, don't they? But I really enjoyed it.
What is important to you, being the editor of Radio Wales, but also in charge of sport? How, trying to keep the current audience and also reaching out to the new generation, what's that plan for you?
Yeah, because I've got two hats, and they're two, in some ways, they're two very different departments, but obviously there are a lot of synergies as well. And you know, at the heart of it for Radio Wales is keeping that heartland audience. We know exactly who they are and the loyalty they've got, but you know, they're not going to sustain us forever. And also there are an audience out there that we're not getting, who want content in different forms on different platforms, but we know we've got that kind of content to entice them in. So it's that balance between, you know, your the joy of live radio, but the challenge and the excitement of digital radio, and similarly in sport. You know, we know that we super serve a certain audience, but we need to look after the ones who are not coming to us.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah, well, good example was Scrum 5 podcast. This is something that evolved from a kind of weekly magazine radio show on, you know, bog standard linear radio. And for this World Cup, the Rugby World Cup, obviously hugely important to our audience, we have kind of multi-platformed it. It is streamed live on the BBC Sport website, so you can get it across the UK, streamed on iPlayer. And then it's also, I had to kind of persuade my colleagues in television commissioning, because, you know, it's not going to look like a big shiny TV show. It is, you know, manage expectation. This is a visualised podcast.
All about budgets.
Yeah, all about budgets. Yeah, and I'm making this one stretch. So we showed them a pilot, which we did in a cafe in Cardiff. We said we're going to be doing this in France, baguette, pain au chocolat, coffee.
And that always helps. Food.
It does help.
Food.
Does help. And the morning after the big game. And they were convinced, thankfully. So it also went out on the morning after one of the most heart-stopping matches in Welsh rugby history, Wales-Fiji. We just about sneaked it. And it was fantastic to see it going out on television as well, straight after Bargain Hunt on BBC One in Wales.
What was that like? The end of Bargain Hunt and it comes on. How are you feeling?
I'm thinking, you know, this is how far audio can go. You know, it's kind of, you can, and it'll hit a different audience. You know, you'll have your probably retired viewers on a Monday morning watching that. But I know that, you know, the 16-year-old rugby fan will have watched it stream live on his mobile or her mobile. And you know that you know, value for all is at the heart of everything we do in BBC and BBC Wales.
Is that key to capture that 16-year-old, because they are the future?
Completely. And, you know, we've done lots of audience research. We put a lot of our sports audio content out to a kind of audience group. And the ones who we thought, you know, the ones that we know that listened to us came back with what we expected them to say. And then we had a young guy, Darius. I've never forgotten Darius. He was about 21. We were on Zoom with them all, and I could tell you it was the kind of middle of summer, hot day, and all his mates were in the garden having a barbecue, and I could see he was almost being dragged away as well, you know, so that fight for attention, even in the audience session, was real. But he just gave us so much insight into how he consumes things. You know, they're not necessarily going to sit down and listen to a whole game or watch a whole game of rugby or football. They'll have it on several screens, they'll want it clipped, they'll want it, you know, they'll want a kind of comedic viral interpretation of it at some point, you know, they'll want something they can share with their friends. You know,
is that hard for you to deliver? Because it's the tradition of having that one form, or the traditional format of one show, or perhaps catch up, listen again, possibly a sounds offering,
yeah.
But now there is all these multifaceted offerings that you have to provide.
Yeah, I don't think it's hard from a creative perspective, because I know, you know, the will is there. It's difficult from a resource perspective, to be frank. You know, there are only so many things you can do with so many teams.
How do you manage that?
It's difficult. You know, I've got a kind of little mantra, survive, strive and thrive, you know, to survive what we're going through as an industry. You know, we've got to adapt and be agile. So we've got to strive, got to work really hard, and then we will thrive. So you've got to sell a kind of vision of what we're trying to do, because otherwise there will not be an audience.
Yeah, we're really on the tour now. We're really on the tour. We've got one last stop for you, and it's back to the Treasures Room for our final interview of the episode, saving the best to last. I mean, no bias, but it's my good, fun kids pal, the excellent Adam Stoner, who's going to be talking about beaming radio shows into space with Simon Lederman.
Welcome back to the Treasures Room at the Royal College of Physicians and the Radio Academy Festival 2023. I'm with Adam Stoner, who's just come off stage from Fun Kids Radio. And you're in the throne, which is exactly where you should be, because you are not only in charge and in control of this earth, you are in charge of a whole galaxy.
Yes, the president's chair. Shall I? president of the universe. That'd be a nice title, wouldn't it?
You were talking a lot about Mission Transmission, which was this remarkably clever idea to beam audio into deep space and really focus it on your audience. And one of the things I'm really interested in today is finding out how you keep, attract, identify and enthuse your audience, which by the sound of it, you really know well.
Yeah, so Fun Kids is a national radio station. Our audience ranges from kind of 6 to 12-year-olds. And as you might be able to imagine, there's sort of a really radical difference between a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old. And we retain our audience. I mean, we've got loads of stuff on kind of across our entire schedule to really keep and retain those listeners. We invite people in through Fun Kids Junior, which is our radio station for little ones, if you like. And then the idea is that they graduate to the regular Fun Kids at a later age. Of course, sadly, there does come a time where they leave us, but hopefully in, you know, 20 years, they'll have children and of their own and start the process anew. But yeah, we love our audience, and our audience is at the heart of absolutely everything we do, especially for big events like Fun Kids Mission Transmission and other things that we've got coming up.
Which you can't tell us, we know, but they are bound to be good. We also know that too. Can I ask you that there is a generational view, and often it's told from people actually older than me, who say that for the audience that you attract, that linear, particularly in radio, is gone. But you proved that it hasn't.
Yeah, so Fun Kids is a radio station that is linear. You know, our most popular times are probably the most popular times of every other radio station, breakfast and drive. Admittedly, drive is slightly earlier for us. It's probably not, you know, 5, 6 p.m.
And they tend not to drive.
And they tend not to drive, yes. Maybe passenger time is probably the better name. But Fun Kids also is non-linear as well. You know, we've got a very successful podcast network. We're Europe's largest, biggest provider of children's podcast content. You know, there is a lot of non-linear listening. But we found our success comes from being in the places that kids are. A lot of our listening is from smart speakers. A lot of our listening comes from mobile apps. And then, yeah, obviously the DAB radio station as well.
Can you get those recordings of kids going, play Fun Kids? That must be fascinating. If you could only hear that, as I could see a program with that. In terms of the future, there is this idea that actually there are going to be even more distractions that are going to go the way of for all of us, particularly people who are younger. Do you think you've got a battle ahead?
I don't think we've got a battle ahead. No, I think we are... we're an incredibly small team. You know, I can count on the number of, on my two hands, the number of full-time employees that are at Fun Kids. We're a very small team. We're very deft. We're very agile. You know, because we are at the forefront, I would say, of you know, what our audience are doing, we tend to move with them. And actually, dare I say it, we might be a step ahead of them. We might be able to kind of help encourage them to do certain things, like, say, Alexa, play Fun Kids over and over and over again.
And just lastly, you're at an event today. There are huge numbers of people from the radio industry. Why is that important for you to be here?
It's just great to meet your colleagues. It's great to meet, you know, other people in the industry, to connect with them, to understand what the industry is doing, to understand where the industry is going. And it's just good fun. It's good fun. It's great to get ideas from other people for your own things, and to understand, you know, where the whole ship is heading, if you like.
Adam Stoner from Fun Kids, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Again, a massive thank you to everybody who contributed to the Radio Festival podcast. And again, a massive shout out to Edward Adu, Akila Rodriguez, Simon Lederman and Imogen Brewer, who all gave up their time to make these interviews happen for you all. And they were proper lovely and amazing too. So, which is always a bonus when working on a project like this. Plus, if you haven't already, go and check out the two previous episodes, bringing you more wisdom from the speakers of this year's Radio Festival. I've been Sean Thorne. See you next time. Bye.